Pasha starts off, Yitzchak, Rivka Davin, Bata, Rivka Ishtai, Rivka becomes Moberes, Pasuk Chafeiz, by Yisraitetzu, Abana, Bekirba. And the children struggled, fought within her. Bataimim Kain, and Rivka says, if Saul, Lamaza, Anoichi, Bataila, Chud, Rosh Hashem. So Rashi tells us, by Yisraitetzu, Rabbi Seren, Doroshuhu, Rosh, and Ritz, Rosh of Running. When she passed by the Pisachei Torah, the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'ever, Yaakov wrote, Yaakov wanted to run and go out. When she passed by the Pisachei Yaakov, the Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to go out. So they were both running to go out. Esav was running to the Avodah Zarah. Yaakov was running to the Beis Medrash. Okay. Just start off with the part we say over every year, which is always kedai to remember. The Velt Estakasha, and that is, why did Yaakov want to leave? Why did Yaakov want to go out of his mother? When the Uber is inside the mother, the Malach teaches the Uber call it Torah Kula. Forget when the baby's born, he forgets everything, he has to start over from scratch. Why was Yaakov in a rush to go out? So Terence is over. Half in jest, half the truth, is you can have the best Rebbe in the world. You have a Malach for a Rebbe. But if you have a Chavrusa like Esav, you have to get out. You can't stay. So it depends. You can have the best Rebbe in the world, but the Chavrusa is Esav. You have to go out. Okay. Rabbi Yeruchim Lubavitz, Mashkiach in Mir, in Europe, he came in one time, he gave a Musa Chabura to his house once a week, and he came in, it was during the spring, and he came in all excited. Before anyone had a chance to ask him what happened, he said, I just came from the street outside. Everything is growing outside. The grass is growing, the trees are growing, the flowers are growing, everything is growing. And then he turned to everyone sitting by a table and he said, and why aren't you growing? If every year is springtime, the world renews itself, the world grows, and why aren't you growing? Why don't you grow? Our job in this world is to grow. We have to grow. We have to work with what we have, and we have to grow. Yaakov was inside Rivka. The Malach taught him Kol HaTorah Kula. But is that really a person's job in this world to be taught everything by a Malach? A person's job is a Melus, to work with Torah. Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. Yaakov wanted a rush to go out. Yaakov wanted to start working on his own. Yaakov didn't want to be taught by the Malach. The Malach is a certain
education.
Okay, but it's a certain time a person has to move on. A person has to go out. Be a Amelim B'Torah. So Yaakov wanted to go out to start as a Melus B'Torah, to start working in Torah. When a person comes into this world, a person forgets what the Malach taught him. He has the ability to remember it. He has the ability to regain it. But a person's job in this world is the amelo, is to work in Torah that a person has to, that a person has to. The Ritva says something very interesting. The Ritva writes, it's interesting, Yaakov and Esav are twins. Totally different from A to Z. One end of the spectrum to the other. And the twins, Yaakov turns out to be a Yaakov Avinu, and Esav is Esav Harosha. So the Ritva to teach us that a person can never say, look who I was born from, look at the family I came from, look at my mazel. Here you have two twins. Everything was the same. Same father, same mother, same house, everything was the same, and yet they turned out the opposite. Every person has his own bechira. Every person has his own choice, how he wants to turn out, what he wants to do with his life. A person can't say, it's mazel, it's the parents, because a person can go ahead, everybody has their own choice, what they want to do and what they could accomplish with their, what they could accomplish with their life. Vayigdu hanaram. The pasuk tells us a little further on, the children grew up. Pasuk chav zayin. Vayigdu hanaram. The children grew up. Vayhi Esav ish yedei ish sada. Ish yedei tzayid ish sada. Vayakov ish tom yoshi v'holim. And Rashi tells us, on vayigdu hanaram, pasuk chav zayin, Rashi says, kol zman shehayu ketanim. As long as they were young, they were ketanim. You couldn't tell from their actions what they would grow up to be. But when they came, Yud Gimel Shon, they turned by mitzvah. Yaakov went to the Beis Medrash, and Esav went to the Avodah Zarah. So I saw a nice little story today. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky came to America, going back in 1937. He took a job as a temporary rabbi in Seattle, Washington. Congregation Brikul Cholim in Seattle, Washington. And part of the rabbi's job was basically everything, from A to Z. Anything and everything fell under the rabbi's jurisdiction. And the Rabbi had left, Yaakov had taken over, and first week on the job, crisis. What happens? They have a Talmud Torah program, and there's not enough money to fund it anymore. There's not enough money to fund the Talmud Torah program, and they have to cut some of the classes. So the suggestion was made to cut the Gemara class. The Chumash class will keep, but the Gemara class will cut. And they had a very lively discussion whether they should continue the Gemara class or not. And one of the board members stood up and he said, my mother told me the following. My mother told me when times are good, you have bread with butter. And when times are not good, you have bread without butter. Up until now, times were good. So we had the bread, the chumash, with the butter, with the Gemara. But now, times are not good. We can't have bread with butter anymore. Chumash we need, but the Gemara class we have to cancel. They took a vote, and the board voted to cancel the Gemara class, cancel the... Yaakov was very upset, but couldn't do much with the board members. Shabbos morning, Rabbi Yaakov is up to speak. And he said the following. It says in Parshas Toldos, Vayigdu hanorim, Vayi Esav ishi deyatzai ishisada, Vyakov ishtom yoshi beholim. What does Rashi say? Vayigdu hanorim? Rashi says, up until the time they turned by mitzvah, people weren't careful, no one knew. They turned by mitzvah, he went to the Beis Medrash, he went to Avodah Zarah. Continue the psukim. Yitzchak loves Esav, two psukim later, Vayozed Yaakov nozed. Yaakov cooks the famous lentil soup, and Esav comes back from the field tired from Metzicha, Avodah Zarah, all his Averis. How old was Esav and Yaakov at the time of the Mechira, when Esav sold the Mechira to Yaakov? The story with the lentil soup. How old was Esav and Yaakov?
14.
Make a cheshbon. Rashi tells us that Avram died. Why was Yaakov cooking lentil soup? Because Avram died at that time. And why did Avram die punk now? He died 5 years younger at 175 instead of 180. So he should see Esav, his grandson, Yaitse Latabasra. Go out on a bad way. Go off the derech. Go with Latabasra. How old was Esav now? 15 years old. If Avram was 175, Yitzchak was born when Avram was 100. That means Yitzchak was 75. How old was Yitzchak when Yaakov and Esav were born? 60. Yaakov was 60 when they were born. 60. If that's the case, Esav was 15. So to Yaakov, they're 2 years missing. Vayigdu hanorim, became bar mitzvah, and vayozim Yaakov nozim in life. Rashi says, when did Esav finally make his break? Go off the derech, the tarbis ra? He was 15 years old. What happened between the ages of 13 and the age of 15? So Yaakov said, because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Chamesh, L'mikra, Ben Esser L'mishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei, L'gemara. 15 years old is when a person, teach a person Gemara. Yaakov said, you know what happened? Up until 15 years old, there was still hope for Esav. If he would learn Gemara, he would learn, there was still hope that he could straighten himself out, his seichel would straighten himself out, and he'd be able to improve, change his ways. The person at that age of 15 years old is very affected by his surroundings. And without Gemara, a person is lost, there's still hope. But when Esav turned 15, and he decided not to go to the Beis Medrash, he decided not to learn, he decided to go out into the fields, Behu'aif was all over, he went on the Tabas Ra, and that's why Avram died early, you shouldn't see Esav on the Tabas Ra. So Yaakov said, without Gemara, the boys are going to be lost. He went to the Tabas Ra. He made his point, he was successful, and they reinstated the Gemara class. Somehow they found the money for the Gemara class. Okay. The Pasuk says later on, V'Yaakov Nasan L'Esav. Yaakov makes a business deal with Esav. He sells him the Bechaira for the lentil soup. Right? Esav comes in, he's thirsty, he's hungry, pour down, give me this red soup to drink. Yaakov says, I'll make you a deal. You want the soup? Sell me the Bechaira. They make a deal, Esav sells the Bechaira for the lentil soup. And the question is obvious. What kind of a mechira was it? That's all the bechira is worth? It's worth a pot of soup? That's all it's worth? It's not worth more than that. Esav should have come back later with mekach tois. He could have bought mekach tois for a pot of soup. How much is a pot of soup worth? How much is a pot of soup worth? It's worth the bechira. Oh, so the answer with the famous story. Everyone knows the story. But brings out the point very clearly. Somebody once came to his Rebbe, it was with the Chayza, he came and he had a daughter to marry off, and he said, no parnaso, I have no money for the chasana, what should I do? So the Rebbe told the famous story. So the Rebbe told him, go out, and the first business proposition, the first business deal that's offered to you, you take. The chassid leaves, and he's on the way home. He stops off by an inn to rest for a short while, and he walks in, there's a rowdy crowd sitting over there, and you see this Nebuchadnezzar chassid sitting walking in, and they start poking fun at him, they start talking and getting him all excited. And one says to him, Rabbi, make you a deal, Rabbi. The chassid is that. The Rebbe said, the first deal he takes. He says to him, Rabbi, we'll make you a deal. They offer the chassid the deal. And they say to the chassid, I'll sell you my Olam Haba. And the chassid doesn't know what to do. Should he buy the Olam Haba or not? But the Rebbe said, the first deal that comes my way, you take. Gets to the chassid, goes ahead, and for a ruble, he buys the Olam Haba. He buys the Olam Haba of one of the people for a ruble. They drew up a whole shtar, they sign in front of two witnesses, a valid deal, and he sells his Olam Haba to the chassid for one ruble. The chassid, what's he going to do with somebody else's Olam Haba? How's it going to help him with Olam Haba? How's it going to help him with the chassid? The kid said, the one who sold his Olam Haba, this wise guy who made a whole joke and sold his Olam Haba, comes home, and he tells his wife the story, you know what happened today, we met this rabbi, we had a little fun with him, and I sold him my Olam Haba, and here's the shtar. His wife takes a look and says, what are you, out of your mind? You sold your Olam Haba? I'm not staying married to somebody who doesn't have any Olam Haba. Go right now, go back, and buy it back. I'm not staying married to somebody who doesn't have any Olam Haba. But it was only a joke, I didn't really mean it. She says to him, nothing doing. Right. Go back and buy it from him. He runs back. He finds the chassid, he says to him, listen, you know it was only a joke, it was done in jest, we didn't really mean it. Here's the shtar back, give me the ruble, and the sale's canceled. And the chassid says, nothing doing, not getting it back so fast. He says, but my wife's not going to stay married. Okay, I'll give you 2 rubles. I'll give you 3, 4, 10, and the price goes up and up. And the chassid says, I don't do anything without asking the Rebbe first. If you want to Olam Haba, we have to go ask the Rebbe what to do. If I should sell it back to you or not. They go back to the Rebbe, and he tells the Rebbe the whole story. And the Rebbe says to the one who bought it, to the chassid, the one who sold it, I'm sorry, to the wise guy, the one who sold his Olam Haba, the Rebbe says to him, you want to buy it back? You want Olam Haba back? I think a fair price will be the price of the full chasana. This chassid has to make a chasana. If you pay him the full price for the chasana, you pay for the whole chasana, then I'll be glad to sell it back to you. And he says, oh, Rebbe, so much? But my Olam Haba yesterday, I sold it for a ruble. It was worth only 1 ruble. How do you expect me to buy it back for thousands? For a full chasana? And the Rebbe tells him, you're right. Yesterday, your Olam Haba was worth only a ruble. You weren't machshavit. You didn't give it any chashivas. It wasn't important to you. So it was worth only a ruble. But today, when you realize that your marriage depends upon it, your future depends upon it, it's worth a lot. And if you want it back, you have to pay for the chasana. And they live happily ever after. The story is a happy ending. You pay, you get it back. Everybody lives happily ever after. A mitzvah, dover ruchnius, is worth to a person as much as he values it. If a person values a dover ruchni, it's worth a lot. If he doesn't value it, it's not worth that much. Esav, the b'chayra, is not a physical aspect. It's a ruchnius, it's spiritual. Esav didn't value it. Esav didn't treat it with any importance. Just the opposite. Esav says, "Hinei neichi hayachlomus, I'm going to die." He asks Yaakov, "What's the nature of the bechira? They can't do the avoda, and all the dinim. They do the avoda when they shikur, or they do the avoda without washing their hands first. The chayiv misa." Esav says, "If that's the case, hinei neichi hayachlomus, I'm going to die." The lamazali bechira, he's mevazin bechira. So to Esav was worth exactly a pot of lentil soup, and therefore it's not mekach tois.
It's a good deal.
But the same is true with us. How much chashivus do we give to mitzvahs? Sometimes we come to learn. I'm just giving an example. But one night we don't come to learn. Why not? Because we're waiting for a phone call. No? Okay. That's an oldie for cell phones. Not a good example. Sorry. Okay. We don't come to learn because Oh, okay. I wasn't going to say it. Okay. Whatever it might be. We just put a value on the learning. The hour of learning is worth a World Series. That's not just worth us. It's worth a game.
No.
So Hashem says, if that's the case, for each learning, each time you come to learn, I'll give you a game. That's how much it's worth to you. Somebody's in the morning and he stops to answer his cell phone. How much is it worth? It's worth a call, because the call is more important. So I'll pay you back with another phone call. I'll pay you back with another cell phone. How much is it worth to us? The bottom line is that mitzvahs are worth the value we put on the mitzvahs. How much we value the mitzvahs. A double ruchni doesn't have a value. You can't value a mitzvah at $10 and $1 million. It depends how much a person is machshav the mitzvah. The person respects the mitzvah and shows it's important, then he values the mitzvah greatly, his schar is great. But a person who doesn't value the mitzvah, his schar is less. And that's the pshat why Rishoyim are paid back for mitzvahs in this world. Because really, Chazal tell us, schar mitzvah b'hayah malekah. There's no schar for a mitzvah in this world. This world doesn't contain enough reward for a mitzvah. How do you pay back Rishoyim for a mitzvah? Teretz is, because Rishoyim don't value the mitzvahs. To them, the mitzvahs are not important. They put less of a value. Their olam hazeh is worth more than the mitzvah. So for them, there is reward for the mitzvah in this world, because to them, olam hazeh is worth more than the mitzvahs. But a tzaddik who understands that the Torah is more important, olam hazeh is more important, schar mitzvah b'hayah malek. Okay, lesson for all of us. Chas v'shalom, I didn't mean to insult him at the World Series. It was just a joke. Please don't take it personally. We live in a world with the Yetzer Hara. Everybody has the Yetzer Hara. The person who has the Yetzer Hara, he's not part of this world anymore. We all have our Yetzer Hara, but a person should be machshev the learning, machshev mitzvahs as much as he possibly can. We come later on, after the whole story with the brachas, Yaakov takes away the brachas. Esav comes screaming to Yitzchak, "What about me? Habracha achas yilchavi? Do you have one bracha left for me?" And the pasuk tells us that Yitzchak tells Esav at the end, "V'alchar b'chasichya." Pasuk and pasuk mem chavzayim mem, "V'alchar b'chasichya v'sechicha ta'avid." V'ha'yo kashetarid uforakto ulay mi'altsav erecha. Esav lives by the sword. V'alchar b'chasichya. There's a medrash in Devarim Rabbah Aleph Ois Yutes. Take a medrash Rabbah in Devarim Rabbah Parasha Aleph, the very beginning, Ois Yutes. Says the following: Imra Esav, if you see Esav, Penua Chem Safina, hide from Esav, go run away from Esav. And the medrash asks, and where should we run away from Esav? You told Esav, Achar B'chasichye, you should live by the sword. Esav is a koyach of the cherif of the sword. So where are we going to hide from Esav? And the Medrash answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, run away ala Torah. Run to the Torah. When the Yid runs to the Torah, Torah protects us from the sword of Esav. We all know it says, HaKol kol Yaakov ha'yidayim yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, the hands are the hands of Esav. And the koil is our koyach. Our koyach is koil, Torah, tefillah. The word HaKol is spelled without the vav, spelled kuf lamid. When the koil of Yaakov is kal, is light, is easy, that's when Esav has his power. But when the koil of Yaakov is strong, then Esav is on the bottom, we're stronger, we override, we have the koyach, we have the koyach of Torah. The Kedushas Yom Tov is a beautiful idea, beautiful word. We know in Hilchas Bas B'cholov, Taruvois, if kovash is kimavushal, something that's pickled, soaked, it's like it's cooked. So if you have kosher food, something that's not kosher, and you soak the two of them together in the same keli. If you soak them together for 24 hours, even though it was not hot, it was cold, there's no cooking, but kovash is kimavushal, and the kosher is affected by the not kosher, and it becomes treif. However, that's only true if they both sit together for 24 hours. If they don't sit together for 24 hours, then the kosher is not affected by the non-kosher. It's not affected by the non-kosher. If you take out the kosher food for a while in the middle, and you put it back in, you don't have 24 hours straight. The only time the kosher food is affected by the non-kosher food is when it's there together for 24 hours straight. It's not there 24, but see it straight, it's not affected. Says the Kedushas Yom Tov, we're in Golus. We're together with the Goyim, soaking in Golus, soaking in the environment, in the surroundings of Golus. If we sit 24 hours straight, together with the Goyim, we become like them, we're affected by them. What's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is that during those 24 hours, we pick ourselves out of the environment that we're in, and we elevate ourselves with Torah, with Tefillah, each person according to his Kayach. So, Baruch Hashem, we daven, we go to Shul, we daven Shachos Mincha Maariv, but we need a little more than that to pick ourselves up out of the mixture, the environment of the Goyim. If once in 24 hours we find the time to learn, take that hour, pick ourselves up from the environment that we're in, even though we're going right back tomorrow morning. And we're in it together with the Goyim, but as long as we're able to pick ourselves up within those 24 hours, it doesn't affect us. We remain separate from the Goyim. A person could sit together with the Goyim straight, and he doesn't take measures to elevate himself, to pick himself up, then he's affected by the Goyim. Avokayach is Torah. The Torah is what separates us from the Goyim, and that's how we keep ourselves away and not mix together with the Goyim. There's a Yerushalmi Nedarim in Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches. And the Yerushalmi says the following. Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Chayna. Says Rav Acha named Rabbi Chayna. Osid Esav HaRosha Latoif Talisoi. Esav HaRosha in the future will wrap himself up in his talis. V'leishev im HaTzadikim b'Gan Eden. He'll sit together with the Tzadikim in Gan Eden. L'osid L'avoy. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Goyroi U'maitziyei Misham. And Hashem will shrap him out. Will take him out. And Pnei Moshe, which is one of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, says that Esav, what was his cheshbon to put on a talis and go to Gan Eden? Esav said, I have schus avos, I have a Zayd Avram, I have a father Yitzchak, no problem, I'll dress the pot, put on a talis, I'll go into Gan Eden, and have a schus avos, and I'll sit together with the tzaddikim. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will take him out, show Esav, he doesn't have schus avos, because the children of Avram and Yitzchak are Yaakov, Esav is not called from the Zera of Avram, and Yitzchak doesn't have schus avos. We all have schus avos. We all have schus avos. We come from the avos, we come from the shvatim, for tzaddikim, we all have schus avos. But in order for a person to use schus avos, he has to follow in their footsteps. He has to follow in their footsteps. A person just puts on a talis, says, look, on the outside, I have schus avos, I'm wearing my talis, that's not enough. A person has to go ahead, he has to follow in their footsteps. Just saying, I have schus avos, just wearing the talis is not enough. That's what Esav tried. Esav was chitzadius. Esav showed everything on the outside. Like Chazer, Rashi tells us, Chazer sits at his hooves and says, look, sorry, the Chazer tries to show that he's kosher, even though he's really not. Esav tried to show he's kosher. He married 40. He said, my father Yitzchak married at the age of 40. I also married at the age of 40. Try to show that he's kosher. Esav was on the outside. The inside, Esav HaRosha. We have to work on the inside. We have plenty of schusim, we have plenty of things to carry us through. But the avod of a person is to work on the inside and the primis of the person. I say of a story, Rabbi Baruch Ber once came home and the furnace, whatever the oven in his house broke. And there was no heat in the house. It was a freezing winter day and the house was ice cold. And the oven that kept the house warm broke. So they called a repairman to come. There was a yid in town who repaired the ovens, the furnaces. They called him to come. And he's busy tinkering with the oven. And Baruch Ber walks into the house. Baruch Ber couldn't see who he was because his face was under the oven. Pierce by, he just said hello in whatever language, with any, whatever, Polish, whatever language he spoke. He said hello to the worker without seeing who it was, and he continued on. Later he finds out the worker was a yid. Baruch Ber runs back into the kitchen to the worker under the oven, and he says, Reb Yid, can you come out? I want to talk to you for a second. The yid comes in and says, I want to ask you mechila. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you were a Jewish worker. I would have known. I would have said to you, hello, shalom aleichem, the way a yid greets another yid. I would have spoken to you for a minute. I would have asked you how you have everything. I didn't know. I thought that it was a goy. I just said hello in Polish and I walked by. So he says to the yid, are you meichel me for not greeting you properly? And the worker says, meichel? Of course I'm meichel. What's the shayla? Baruch Ber says, no. You're being meichel me too easily. Be meichel me 1, 2, 3. That shows you don't understand what I'm concerned about. You don't understand why I'm asking you mechila. If you understand why I'm asking you mechila, you wouldn't be meichel me so fast. So the Yid says, you're asking me mechila because you're being say, well, yeah, what? Baruch Ber says, no. Let me explain it to you. He sits down with him, and for an hour, Baruch Ber sits down and explains to him how every Yid is special in the eyes of Hashem. We all have a special neshama, kulam kedoshim, and he speaks to him what it means to be a yid. And after the hour is over, he says to him, now do you understand why I ask you mechila? You're a yid, you're a kadosh, you're special in the eyes of Hashem. And I walked right by you without saying a proper greeting, without saying a proper hello, for that I have to ask you mechila. And now that you understand why I'm asking you mechila, now are you mechila. And this is avada, mechila, machloch, machloch, machloch. We all have schus avos, we're all special. We're all kulam kedoshim. Each one of us has our own challenges, but we're all special. We all have the Torah. We all know this. We all have this chesed, but we have to use what we have. The outside's not enough. We have to use what we have in order to grow on the inside. The grass is growing outside. The flowers are growing outside. Why aren't we growing? We have to grow on the inside. We have to grow on the inside also. Just enough for the Amar Dika Alshech. The Alshech HaKadosh asks, why is it that the Golos of Bavel, we knew this man. Golos is 70 years. It's a set time. Golos Mitzrayim, we knew it was 400 years. Whatever the Cheshmin was, we knew the time. Comes to Golos Esav, Golos Edoim, it's an open-end Golos. There's no set time. The Golos goes on and on and on. There's no set time for the Golos. Why is Golos of Edoim different than all the other Golos that we were in, which had a set time, versus this Golos that doesn't have a set time? And the Al-Shekhosh says very, very sharp words. And he says, because Esav takes his kayach from our Averis. Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yidayim yidei Esav. Esav's kayach comes from our Averis. V'achar v'chasichya, v'hol yok asher torid, when Yaakov goes down, u'farak tu'ulay, you throw off his yok mi'atzav rechav mi'hinek. Esav's kayach comes from our Averis. And as long as we do Averis, each Averis that we do gives kayach to Esav. And therefore the Golos continues. There's no set time, because it all depends upon us. Because the Kayach of Esav comes from us. What an insight. What a responsibility we have now. Who do we blame? We're giving the Kayach to Esav. We have to take ourselves. We have to grow. Why aren't we growing? We have to grow better ourselves. And Baruch Hashem, we say, to come together to learn after a hard day. Everybody knows, some days are really hard and upside down. Some days are easier. Some weeks, Baruch Hashem, very good. Some weeks, I can't wait for the week to end already. Just didn't go this week. Everybody has the easy weeks, the easy days. But it doesn't get easier. We have to work. And the ikir is, HaKol Kol Yaakov. We should strengthen the call of Yaakov. We should talk about Ubi Zeicha to learn to strengthen ourselves. Zeicha Shemir Shechzikim, Hirim Minu, Amen.